My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Das ist Ihre Millionenchance. Jetzt im Lotto-Jackpot. 31 Millionen Euro. 31 Millionen Euro.
Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Chance auf den Höchstgewinn 1 zu 140 Millionen. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bjuk.de.
I recently landed a job at a local fast food restaurant. I, of course, did not want to work, but my mom kept insisting and nagging me to get off my ass and make a living. I live in a small town in Australia, and I'm surrounded by dense bush. This fast food restaurant is very similar to McDonald's, as in, it has a drive-thru and sells burgers. This particular restaurant has a bit of history to it, due to the local community not wanting it built for it being on some old site that the town held dear. I wasn't sure what was there, because I'd recently moved to the area, but all the signs and protests were still carrying on, even though it had been 4 years since the store had opened. After I started working, I was promptly trained in all the major areas, serving customers, running the drive-thru, flipping the patties, and making a damn fine cup of coffee. I got along with most of my co-workers, and got a date with one of the cute ones. After working for around a month, my store manager approached me and asked me if I was interested in working the night shift, the most boring time of the night, where the store would be closed except for drive-through, and I would have to solo the store all night due to it not being a very busy establishment. I graciously accepted, as I sort of needed the money to go out with friends and all that, so I was rostered to be put onto the night shift the following week. Last night. Like any sane person, I slept before my shift. I had something to eat and a shower, before donning the work clothing I had to wear for the next 9 hours. I hopped into my car and drove the 10 minutes to my workplace and finally got out and stepped inside. The closing staff greeted me before I jotted down my tasks and started getting to work. The list was the following. Make the dining area spotless, mop the floor, check the stock of the kitchen and chip station. It was the usual stuff really, plus the extra tasks of taking out the bins and cleaning the bathroom. I went down to the change rooms, hung up my jacket, put my apron on, and began my shift. I watched as a closing crew left our small building, got into the cars and drove away. I was alone. With a sigh, I went into our little washroom to grab the mop and began to fill it. The slow movement of water began to irritate me as it took forever to fill the bucket. The light in the room flickered, and I swear I saw a figure out of the corner of my eye. I blinked, and it was gone. It must have been my mind playing tricks on me. Once it finished, I went into the dining room and made sure that the doors were all locked. I mean, who wants a random walking into their closed store at night, especially when the area you're in is known to have lots of addicts? As I dragged the mop into the center of the small dining area, I heard the familiar noise of a printer in the manager's office. As I approached the small window doorway, I noticed that the light in the room was turned off, but the computer screen was on, casting a faint bluish light into the darkened room. I opened the door, the metal doorknob as cold as ice, and turned on the light as I walked into the cramped room, office. More like a supply closet. I wasn't entirely surprised to find a sheet of paper neatly sitting on the print tray. Printed on the paper was a list of sorts in black ink. As I looked closer, I could see that this list had some form of rules on it. I picked the paper from the tray, which was still warm from the print, and as the paper flopped in my hands, a waft of air pushed toward me, causing strange, out-of-place citrus undertones to fill my nostrils. I raised it closer to my face and read the page. Rule 1. If you hear knocking on the doors and windows, turn all lights off and stay under the counter until it stops. Huh? That's strange. knocking? Rule 2. If the temperature drops dramatically, check the thermostat. Then, whatever you do, do not look behind you. Rule 3. If the lights start to flicker in the manager's office, cover the window and the door, lock the door, and stand still for 30 seconds. Rule 4. If you hear sobbing coming from the bathroom, go check it. If it turns into a wail, it is already too late. Rule 5. If you see a woman across the street, do not stop looking at her until you hear a knock on the wall behind you. Rule 6. If music plays over the PA, hide in the freezer until it stops. Rule 7. If you receive a phone call from someone you know, do not answer it, or they are next. Rule 8. If you are outside taking out the rubbish and see the bins are open, run back inside and do not leave for the remainder of the night. Rule 9. If you hear light breathing through the headset for the drive-thru, turn the headset off and run to the bathrooms. Was this a joke? I thought to myself. Some dumb prank devised by the closing manager to try and scare me out of the building on my first night shift? Nice try, I mucked, looking towards the camera closest and flipping it off. I threw the paper into the bin without a second thought, grumbling under my breath about time wasters. That took 5 minutes out of my shift, 5 minutes less to do my job. I returned to my mop and began to start cleaning the floors. They were caked with mud due to a recent storm, and because people are so inconsiderate as to not wipe their shoes on the glaringly obvious storm mats before coming in. Assholes. As I began to near the bathrooms, I felt as though I was being watched. You know the drill. The hairs on the back of your neck stand up and you feel really uncomfortable. I spun on my heels and scanned the room, the pit-pat of rain beginning to start up. After looking around for a short while, I just shrugged it off and turned back to my mop, picked it up, and continued cleaning. However, as I approached the door to the bathroom, I began to hear a faint sobbing. It startled me. I wasn't expecting that. This whole time, I'd thought I was alone in the store. I called out through the closed door, asking if anyone was in the room, and received no reply. I asked again, and like previously, I didn't hear a reply, so I nudged the door open slowly. As I entered the small, one-stall bathroom, I scanned and noticed two key details. The crying had stopped, and no one was there. Creepy. The rain began to pick up, the sounds echoing off the metal roof, and I left the bathroom, eager to finish my mop and get away from the bathroom for the rest of the night. Something felt off. Hadn't that prank list mentioned something like this? I raced back to the bin where I'd tossed the letter and fished it out, wanting to double-check the rules it gave me. After getting the paper from the bin, I read it again, and sure enough, there it was. Rule 4. I stepped away from the bin. If this was a prank, it's very elaborate. I called out to the empty store for whoever was messing with me to come out and show themselves, which got no response. I left the paper on the bench just in case something like that happened again. I went back to my mop and completed cleaning the store. I could see my face on the floors. I went to the beverage machine and got myself a Coke. A refreshing drink after that physical work to reward myself for a job well done. As I drank, I looked at my other jobs for the night and crossed off mopping the floors. I chose to take the rubbish out, as it would be relatively easy. As I put my list of jobs back down, drink still in hand, I began to feel a bit chilly. I live in a relatively cold area, so I was used to the drops in temperatures, especially at night. I went to go and put my jacket on, but as I did, I saw my reflection again on the floor, but it wasn't seeing me that sent shivers down my spine. Right behind me, where the drinks machine was, a woman. She was wearing a tattered dress and had long hair. She was a light blue colour, and through the reflection, I couldn't make out her facial features. I was about to turn around to confront whoever was behind me, when I glanced over the notes I had left on the counter next to me. It seemed as though the rules were trying to burn themselves into my mind. suddenly and hit me. Didn't it get chilly relatively quickly? I hurriedly grabbed the rules list, and there it was. Rule 2. I looked where I saw the reflection of whatever was behind me. It had gotten closer. I jumped and bolted over to the thermostat in the middle of the dining area. I almost slipped on my floors doing so, and when I arrived, I looked at the temperature. -4 degrees Celsius. Suddenly, as if it had always been there, I could feel the icy cold breath of the thing on the back of my neck. Instinctively, my head began to turn, but I forced myself to stare at the thermostat. I stood there, paralyzed, like a deer in the headlights, until slowly, ever so slowly, I felt a freezing hand snake up my arm. As it reached my bicep, the whisper soft touch stopped, and I could feel the sharp pain of fingernails digging into my skin. "Why not look at me?" The voice came from my left, and I could feel the caress of its breath as it leaned in closer. "Don't you want to see how pretty I am?" Was the voice real or in my head? "No," I managed to bite out, squeezing my eyes shut as the fingernails went deep into my skin. Then suddenly, it was gone. It felt like forever until I'd finally mustered up enough courage to turn around again. I checked my arm. To my absolute terror, there was nothing there. No pain, no distinct crescent-shaped wound to my skin. Absolutely nothing. I raked a hand down my face and turned back to the thermostat. My hand was shaking as I quickly reset it to 23 degrees. How can a thermostat be set to less than 15, let alone -4? Turning back to the reassuringly empty store, I was left with more questions than I'd hoped for. Two thoughts barged their way into my mind. What was that, and who set the thermostat? I laughed nervously. Maybe the night shift was getting to me. I mean, I did mention those addicts before, didn't I? Keeping a lookout for them must be getting on my nerves. It was the only idea that I could cling to that didn't make me feel insane. I checked the time, hoping for relief that I was almost finished, but it was 11 past 11 PM. It had only been an hour since I had started. I felt nervous. I needed fresh air. Didn't I say I was going to take out the rubbish? Perfect. I opened the back door and wheeled out one of the 3 willy bins. I walked over to the dumpster, my breath visible in the chilly night. I opened the dumpster and grabbed a garbage bag. As I pulled the bag out of the bin, I swore under my breath. Some ass hadn't tied the bag properly. I'm not cleaning that up. I threw the rest of the bag into the dumpster and turned around to grab another. That's when I saw it. She was back, but this time across the road. I couldn't make out her facial features, but I could feel a cold gaze dig into my soul. I blinked to make sure I wasn't hallucinating, and when I opened my eyes, she was still there, but this time she was slightly closer. Slowly, having all the time in the world, she raised a hand and began to wave, mocking me. I began to freak out. What the hell is going on? As I stared into where I assumed its face was, I was startled by a knock behind me. I spun, only to see that there was a massive hand mark on the wall. I quickly turned back around to face the thing across the road. It was gone. I closed the dumpster and ran inside, leaving the bin out there. I was not spending any more time outside, at least for now. I began to pace back and forth along the counter. Why was this happening? Who sent those rules to the printer? I took my headset off and placed it on the counter. What should I do? I double-checked again that the doors were locked and not able to be opened. I pulled out my phone and began to call my store owner, trying to explain that something strange was happening and asking the open manager to come early. Although it was late at night, I wasn't expecting a response. I sighed when the dial tone was answered by voicemail, telling me to leave a message after the tone. I told the voicemail to call me back as soon as possible and hung up. I looked back at the rule sheet, which was sitting perfectly in front of me. My heart began to race when I saw that rules 2, 4 and 5 were crossed off. When I say crossed off, I mean someone had gotten a marker and had angrily ripped across the page, tearing over the neatly printed rules. I gasped at the sight. Who had been able to do this? Before I could contemplate any further, I began to hear a lullaby over the PA system. This lullaby was nothing I had ever heard before and sounded almost malicious, the soft female voice becoming more aggressive the longer the song droned on. I glanced at the rules, looking for guidance. Rule 6. If music plays over the PA, hide in the freezer until it stops. I bolted to the freezer, neglecting to put on one of the warm jackets in front of it. As I stepped into the freezing cold, I felt as though something was standing behind me in the doorway, beyond the closed industrial door. I looked at the temperature gauge in the freezer to check how cold it was. Here, it was minus 20 degrees. I could still hear the faint echo of the song from outside the door, and I'm ashamed to say that I did not have the courage to step outside, despite the chill that began to settle into my bones. My heart stopped as from even inside the freezer, I could hear it. Someone was banging against the windows. It sounded like someone was throwing all their weight into the window, trying to break it. It was made worse with the lullaby still playing, even more aggressive than before. The list of rules suddenly burst into my mind. Rule 1 at the forefront reminding me that if there was banging in the windows, that I would need to hide under the counter. But I was in the freezer, waiting for the lullaby to stop. What am I going to do? Before I could contemplate any further, I heard the glass break and I made my decision. The lullaby had finally receded to a calmer tone. I burst out of the freezer and ran toward the counter. I threw myself under the counter. I cried in sheer terror as I noticed that I could no longer see outside, as countless bodies pressed themselves against the glass. I call them bodies, because that is what they were. There is no way in hell that someone can tell me that these are living, breathing human beings. Their pale white skin was pulled taut over their features, but that wasn't what scared me the most. Each one of them, every single last one of them, had wide, toothy grins, and none of them had eyes. Yet I could feel them staring at me. I hid under the counter for what seemed like forever, the lullaby over the PA stopping and being replaced with white noise. I raised my weary head out from under the counter, fearing what I would see beyond my safe area. I saw nothing. Absolutely nothing. Why is this happening to me? I slowly crept out from underneath the counter and placed my shaking hands on the bench, trying to stop them from shaking. I looked over at the little piece of paper. Rules 1 and 6 were now crossed off, leaving rules 3, 7, 8 and 9. I jumped as I heard my phone buzz on the countertop. It was the owner. I answered hurriedly and began to tell them what was going on. However, once I finished, the owner began to reply, "Why?" A blood-curdling scream followed, and the phone call ended abruptly, the faint beeping of the landline knocking me back to reality. I placed my phone back down, realizing my error, as I watched Rule 7 get slowly crossed off, the ink seeming to come from nowhere. I grabbed the piece of paper and read the last few rules that were left over from the original 9. The rules that remained unmarked were Rules 3, 8, and 9. I grabbed another drink, trying to calm my nerves, and checked the time again. It was 3:30. I only had to last another 2.5 hours. I suddenly remembered that I had left the bin outside in the rain. The open manager would kill me if the bin was full of water. I opened the back door again and slowly approached the wheelie bin I had left outside. I'd actually managed to empty it before I ran back inside. As I flipped the lid and closed the wheelie bin, I saw the dumpster was open. Didn't I close it when I went back inside? I closed it again, and as I turned to move the bin, I heard a horrifying scream coming from inside the dumpster. Oh no. I turned around, but was stopped by the same icy cold breath on the back of my neck.
Look at me.
The voice screamed out into the night, a high-pitched wail causing my ears to ring. I left the bin and sprinted to the back door. The pit-pat of my footsteps on the asphalt becoming faster and faster, quickly followed by even faster feet, the wail becoming louder and louder, never leaving my ear. I got to the back door and slammed it into place, a faint knocking on the other side.
Let me in.
I collapsed, sliding down the door onto the floor. My heart felt like it was about to burst out of my chest, but I couldn't move. The shock was finally settling as my mind began to race once more. There was no way I was imagining this. Why wasn't I warned that something like this would happen? How does no one else know? What is going on? These three questions kept circulating through my mind. The knocking receded, and I was left with an eerie quiet, as if there was meant to be sound, but there was none. When did it stop raining? I rose up slowly, my shaking hands doing little to help me up. Creeping slowly, I made my way to the front counter, eager to consult the list. If all the rules are getting crossed off as they occur, I only need to look out for the last few, right? As I approached the list, I felt the temperature of the room drop. Not a gentle drop by 1 or 2 degrees, but at least 10, causing the room to feel like a freezer. As I looked at the list, of course, rule 8 was crossed off. Rules 3 and 9 remained. Drive-through, a manager's office, right? I whipped my head around to look at the manager's office. Nothing out of the normal there. I looked at the feed from the camera facing the drive-through. Nothing there either. I breathed a sigh of relief. Nothing out of the ordinary at least. I closed my eyes and chuckled, whispering softly, "Is that all you got, monster?" That was a mistake. My phone rang. It was the owner again. In my haste, I forgot the previous call and answered, frantically trying to tell them about what had happened. Once I finished, white noise pierced through my phone into my ear, causing me to drop the phone onto the counter. Within the noise, I heard voices calling to me. I recognized these voices, my grandfather and mother. What was even freakier was that they were both at home, most likely asleep. Why could I hear them? But then I heard a third voice, which spoke softly.
Come to us.
The fear began to rise as I recognized the third voice. It was that woman, the one who had been terrorizing me all night. I picked up the phone and frantically tried to hang it up. The voices became louder.
Come to us. Come to us. Come to us.
Then, a click. I managed to hang up the call. I slid the phone into my pocket. I was not accepting any more calls tonight. I sat on the counter and glared into the kitchen, the UV bug catcher light zapping any bugs that came close. I looked down toward my feet. Seemed like the bugs are having as hard a night as me. I then heard a zap inside the quiet store, then another and another. I looked up at the light again and heard another zap, but no bug was near the lamp. I glanced around the store, trying to figure out where the noise was coming from, when I looked at the manager's office. The light was flickering. I jumped down from the counter and sprinted toward the door, eager to try and cover up that little window, but I had nothing. I searched around for something as I locked the door, and I looked inside the office. Why did I look inside the office? Amongst the flickering lights, I saw the thing trying to claw its way out of the computer screen, its face breaking the surface of the monitor and coming into the real world. And it was staring at me. I broke its gaze and looked around for something to cover the small window. I needed something, anything to cover it up. I looked again and its head was out now. It was now reaching a hand out. I managed to catch a glimpse of myself in the window as I was looking away. I was wearing my jumper. Yes, I took it off and covered the window with it, just in time to hear the loud thud of the computer monitor hitting the floor. I just had to stand here for 30 seconds and I was safe. Then, I heard it scratching the window. It was slow and methodical, as if it were trying to play out some horrific melody. I threw my weight into the door to try to stop the tune, but it only made it louder. I thought in my head that there wasn't much time left and held the door shut. Suddenly, I heard a smash as a hand reached through the now shattered window and reached for me.
"Come to us, come to us, come to us,"
the creature chanted as it felt around for me, pounding my face and gripping hard. I pulled away from its grip and jumped back from the door, letting go of my jumper in the process. As I glanced back at the door toward where I just was, I saw nothing. As I began to calm down, I heard the scratching of paper, which signified that one more rule remained. Rule 9. Saving the best and last, is what I thought when I looked down at the list. I was delirious. I began to laugh. "One more task? Bring it on," I yelled throughout the store. And if, like a cruel joke, I heard the ding of someone in the drive-thru. I picked up my headset and slammed it on my head and asked, "What do you want, you monstrous creature?" It's safe to say that the person on the other end was not at all happy to hear that answer. They drove through after insulting me and flipping me off as they drove past. My first customers of the night, my first chance to interact with someone, gone. I was upset with myself. I slammed my fist on the table and exclaimed no short list of expletives. It was all that damn thing's fault. I looked at the last rule again, and my mind said, "Screw it." And I decided that if the thing came through, I would confront it. I didn't give a damn anymore. And, as if right on cue, I heard faint breathing coming from the headset. I turned on the mic and told the thing to screw itself. "I know, right, big man." I grabbed the rules to cross off the last one myself, and I was suddenly picked up and thrown across the room into the kitchen. The lights all shut off, only leaving the faint glow of the UV bug light. I saw it then, too. As I looked at the rules to see if Rule 9 had been crossed off, when I saw another rule fade onto the page. It was as if someone had written it in invisible ink. Rule 10. The rules lie. I glanced up just in time to see the thing come crashing through the front door and rampaging toward me. I couldn't move. I couldn't do anything. As it got to the entrance of my kitchen, I shut my eyes. I lost. The light in the store flickered on, and I shut my eyes open to see the thing had disappeared. I looked over at the entrance to see the store owner, who had a panicked, worried expression. He came over to me and told me that I was safe now and that there was nothing to worry about. I think I blacked out, because when I came to, I was in the back of Mom's car. I sat up and asked her what happened. She told me that the store owner called her to come get me because I was catatonic and that she rushed down to come and get me. We arrived home a short while after, and I collapsed into a heap at my bed. If I hadn't told that thing to screw itself, I would probably be dead. Or worse. And, as I finish telling you this, I have to go turn the heater up, as it's gotten really cold in my house.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Weihnachten kommt immer näher und ich habe keine Ahnung, was ich schenken soll. Tante Hedwig will sicher wieder was Handgemachtes, meine Mutter was Persönliches.
Ach komm, Schatz, schenk doch einfach, worüber sich wirklich jeder freut. Glück! Mit den Losen und Lotterien von Lotto Bayern. Das Jahreslos der Glücksspirale. Geschenkkarten mit Rubbel oder Aufreißlosen und die Bayern-Millionen. Nur in deiner Lotto-Annahmestelle. Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter biyuk.de.